right into the mic. Hello, can everybody hear me? Can you hear me on Butler Street? Good. All right, we're gonna get started. We're gonna try to get started here. Come on in. So, hey, welcome to Hemingway's at Hop Farm. Thank you for coming out. Just a little bit of housekeeping. If you want a beer, if you want some food, you can either order from Herb at the bar out front or use those handy QR code things in your phones, which I've never actually been able to do. But you can try it and you might succeed. So give yourself a challenge tonight. Thanks so much for coming out. It's the Hemingway's Summer Poetry Series 50th anniversary season. So we're very excited about that and to be in a new venue that's wide open and spacious and makes their own beer. So thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it. So Hemingway started 50 years ago. We're pretty sure. I mean, Jimmy always told me 1974. We've heard tale that maybe that's not exactly pinpoint accurate, but we're poets, so we strive for emotional accuracy, not facts. So emotionally, it feels true that this has been 50 years. So this was started, we were talking earlier, Joan and I, with Christy Graver over there from Pittsburgh Magazine, that the series started because we believe Bruce Dobler, who taught at Pitt, had the idea that there should be a summer reading series in the city and that it shouldn't be affiliated with any of the university programs or any of the particular writing groups in town. Essentially non-denominational, so Jimmy Savedic was tapped to run it, and he did it until 5 years ago when he passed away. So it's been a long-running gig, and we're just really happy to be here and happy to see everybody. I'm going to read one of Jimmy's poems. I'm going to try to read one of Jimmy's poems. I could just read you the title and walk off like Jimmy did. But what I loved about Jimmy's poetry was that it can be really rough and profane. He loved a good swear. He loved a good joke. But Jimmy at heart was a moralist, and he lived many lives in the life that he had. And it's all in his poetry, his Catholic education and upbringing with his mother, his time serving in the military in Vietnam, his time on the police force working as a homicide detective and an undercover narcotics director detective, as a boxing coach and really opening gyms to help at-risk youth to give them focus and real purpose and direction. The toy drives, I mean, Jimmy did so much that, you know, it's easy for the poetry that he wrote to kind of get lost in that shuffle. But I think it really was the center of the whole package. And the more of his poetry that I read, the more clear that becomes for me. And I miss Jimmy very much. I wish he was here. This is called Bones to Chimes. I dug Bukowski up and took some of Chinaski's ribs. Didn't really care about his gravestone. Two boxers squared off. Don't even try. Then I went to find Bandini's bones. Broke off a couple of fingers. If you don't believe me, just ask the dust. Then I went to South America, found where they buried Neruda, and broke off a piece of his jawbone, took a couple of his teeth, and yelled, "Residents on Earth, my ass!" I then made my way up to Concord, found the grave of Henry David, and I dug him up with my hands out of quiet desperation. I took his femur and a couple of spine bones. I saved enough money and went to England and found Shakespeare's grave. Didn't care about the curse. I took his skull and an old yellow scroll manuscript. I went to my writing room, got a piece of fishing line and sewed Janaski's ribs, Bandini's fingers, Neruda's jawbone and teeth, Henry David's femur, and Shakespeare's skull. It took several decades to sew the bones, but it was missing sound. So I went to New Jersey. That's where you laugh, right? The New Jersey, right? And dug up Whitman and snapped off his toes one by one. I went home and tied Whitman with the other bones, and then I went outside next to the large evergreen and tied the bone wind chime. It sounded like the most beautiful war ever waged. It sounded like the horn of Gabriel. It sounded like Cleo and Anthony merging Egypt and Rome. It smelled like the moat of a castle that Joan had scaled for the freedom of France, to the screams of a throng watching a saint being burnt to death. It tasted of the liver of a gazelle killed by a lion, the bones crashing into each other like the waves of Big Sur. The chime called for Hemingway and Cervantes. I sat on the step of my porch and thanked them for sound and magic and thought of Twain and the mighty Mississippi. And I said, the gods have been good. And I fell into a sleep, dreaming of Milton's eyes. Thanks. Thanks for coming. I will turn you over to Joan Bauer.